Please turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. How many of you have ever seen the running of the bulls? How many of you have ever done it? How many of you have ever seen that matador that gets in the ring with the bull and he's all upset? And then he holds something up that'll make him charge. You've seen that? How many of you have ever done that? Why don't we do that stuff? Because it's crazy, right? Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Those bulls can kill you. Well, that's kind of what the story this morning is about. What we're going to be looking at. Why would you do that? It's crazy. Why would you even try that? This morning, as we continue our series in spiritual warfare, we're going to look at the devil's attempt to tempt Jesus. And him coming. So we're going to look at the devil and Jesus this morning. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It's not written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And Father, I pray this morning, as we look into your word, I ask that you will speak to us. And Father, I ask you to help us to become aware of what the enemy attempts and the areas in which we can be tempted. And Father, I know that you have a plan for us, and I know that we have an enemy who would like to destroy that. And so we look to you, not just as the author of our faith, but the finisher as well. And so help us to walk in that. Help us to walk in the victory that we have with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we go through today, we're going to actually see the three areas that we are tempted. We're tempted in the areas of the flesh. We're tempted by the devil himself, and we're tempted by the world. And these three are areas of what we would call susceptibility when we're not walking in the Spirit. Because if you're walking in the Spirit, you can't sin at the same time. We've covered that before. But when we're not walking in the Spirit, these things, man, they really look... And even when we are walking in the Spirit, sometimes they still look good. And so we're going to begin with the temptation of the flesh. There are natural desires of our flesh that are not sinful in themselves, but become sinful by how we meet those needs. When we think about the flesh, the most prevalent, the most one that we talk about all the time is sexual related, sexual sins. Because our flesh, when God made us, he made us to have sex. Sex is awesome. It's a beautiful thing when it's done the way God designed it. And it's very hurtful and damaging and destructive when it's not. Ask anybody. And so we think, you know, I'm going to take a side here. Listen, if a teenager ever says to any of y'all, "If you love me, you would," you can know for a fact they don't love you. Because that's about them. Love is a commitment to someone else, not for yourself. And so this idea, if you love me, that is one of the ways the enemy will use, and it's also a selfish thing, trying to get what that person wants, and they'll leverage it against you. Be aware. But you know what? It happens with adults too. Sex is one of the big ones. Food. Food is not sin in itself. Amen to that. But if I go home and eat about 5 tubs of ice cream, it could be sin. And it definitely will not serve me well. That's why the Bible says that he talks about he ate with his disciples, but at the same time, the sin of gluttony is in the Bible. And so our flesh needs food. It needs food. Let me give you another one of the flesh. This one is kind of tricky. Acceptance is a fleshly desire. I want everybody to like me. Wasn't it Stuart Smalley that did that little thing? He used to do that. And gosh darn it, people like me. I should have gotten the whole thing on stage. Should have done that today. I didn't even know I was going to do that. But acceptance. Acceptance, being accepted by other people, being accepted in a group will cause us to sometimes change our behavior to make them like us. And let me tell you something. If you change your behavior for somebody to like you, they don't like you. They don't like you. I have to change what I do for you to like me, then you don't like me. Now, if I need some work on my behavior, then that's a different story. And so probably there's times that both are true. But acceptance will lead us, and it's a fleshly desire. You know what? The only thing that God ever made that he said was not good is when he made Adam and left him alone. Y'all realize that? He said he made this and this, and it was good, and that was day 3. And then day 4 and day 5 and 6 came along, and Adam was created. And he said, it's not good that man is alone. And he created Eve. We're meant to be together. This idea that, oh, I can worship God out on my fishing boat by myself is true, but it violates Hebrews 11. Yes, we worship God where we are, but we need each other. We need each other. I need, when you guys just show up, you encourage me unto good deeds and love. When you're just here in my life, it matters. It matters. You ever throw a party and nobody show up? Right? That's fun. But when everybody shows up and you're running out of food, you know, call the caterer. Call the pizza place. Right? That's a good problem. And big, isn't that fine? We all kind of agree with it. It's acceptance. It's an acceptance thing. And so it's interesting here, though, that the devil only approached Jesus after his flesh was in a weakened state. He took him out to be tempted, then he left him there for 40 days and 40 nights. Let me read it. Did I say 40 days? Maybe the wrong story. Sorry. After, 40 days and 40 nights. Thank you. Left him out there for a minute there. I thought we were talking about Noah. He left him out there for 40 days and 40 nights. Listen, if I eat lunch late, I'm getting cat. Y'all ever heard of hangry? Right? Anybody get grumpy when they're hungry? And all the people said, amen. Amen. So hurry it up. But we get, you know, here he goes 40 days. And then he goes, hey, Jesus, turn those stones to bread. And they'll feed you. Imagine how tempting that must have been for him. Or how tempting that could have been. I'll tell you this, Jesus didn't struggle with any of these temptations. But he was appealing to his flesh. When he did that, he was appealing to a physical need. And there's things out there that appeal to our physical need that we need to say no to. That we need to say yes to Jesus and no to those things. And so here's the deal. The devil will always present himself as the solution to your need. He will always present himself as the solution to your need. Well, how am I going to figure this out? We all recognize needs in our life. The enemy will present himself as the solution. He comes as an angel of light. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. Well, this is the answer. Don't turn to God for that. I have the answer for you. There's an easier way. And he says, turn to him. The devil's temptation to Jesus, this is really interesting, because Jesus' response reveals something about the temptation. The devil's temptation to Jesus was giving in to his physical needs as a means to say that life is not solely found in Jesus Christ. We know that by his response. That's why Jesus responded by saying, man shall not live by bread alone, but in every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He said, it's not just bread, dude. That's the modern vernacular. I don't know if he called it the devil, dude. But he said, it's not just bread. You're missing it. Where is our life hidden? With Christ and God. And we try to find life without him, don't we? Well, this is better over here. This is better here. Or if I just go do this, and I'll sacrifice a little with God now, but I'll get it, you know, I'll get on track. And we do that in small compromises each and every day, and we're missing where our life really is. Because apart from him, do we have life? We don't. But we believe those little lies that we're told, and that's what he does. There's a verse that says, it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. We have a little breach under our house. And I watched a little possum, and I don't like possums generally, but I watched him, he was about this big, and I watched him crawl out, and he disappeared like that. By the time I could get around, he was gone. And I knew they were in there. And he, as much as I don't like him, he was kind of cute in a way, and I just left them. Well, now we're paying a price, because they have a lifespan. And that's what happens. We let things go like that, and then there's a price to pay, and it's always later. It's always later. So if anybody would like to come out this afternoon, just kidding. But we pay a price later. And Jesus here, the bottom line is, don't try to find your life in anything other than Jesus. Because the enemy's going to try to show it to you. He's going to tempt you with your flesh. Man, it'd be great. We're going to see a bunch of Super Bowl commercials here in a week. He's going to tell you how great your life could be if you do this. Or if you have that. Or you get it your way. That's Burger King. And they're going to appeal to us that our life, what they're really selling you is this idea that your life is not sufficient without my hamburger or my alcohol or my whatever or my Dorito chips. Let me tell you something. Our life better be satisfied in Christ, otherwise we're susceptible. We're susceptible. Say, well, what has he done for me? Oh, my. What has he done for me? What has he done for me lately? Oh, my. We're going to go off the rail here in a minute. Because let me tell you what he did. He was on the throne in heaven, worshipped. He was on the throne in heaven, expressing all his glory. With angels flying around, crying, holy, holy, holy. Read Isaiah 9:6, and you'll see it. He set all that aside, was born in a trough, grew up despised. People knew something was different about him. Even at the age of 12, he did 3 years of public ministry. and then was beaten so bad you couldn't tell he was a man. He should have died from the lashes that they inflicted him. You know why they did 39 lashes? They believed 40, the 40th one would kill you. They'd bring people to the brink of death and then withhold one. Now, I don't know about you, but when I get a splinter, I'm not fun to be around until I get that splinter out. But can you imagine, how many of you like to rub your open wounds? You like to enjoy that? Y'all enjoy that? You know, I can come by with a brush and do that if you enjoy that. His back was open, and to breathe, he had to slide up and down on that cross. And he did that for you. So what has he done for you? What has he done for you lately? He's done enough for me. Mm-hmm. He's done enough. He saved me. I couldn't have saved myself. He bailed me out when my bucket would have never done it. And this right here proves that he has victory over all of that. And you know what? I'll tell you this. Let me help you with your relations with other people. Before you start counting everybody else's sins, start counting yours. And boy, I tell you, forgiveness is an easier ticket. You know, we want some people, they need to be punished in judgment for that. Oh, but please have grace on me. Let me remind you that you reap what you sow. How about we be a place of grace and restoration? And forgiveness. And moving forward. Instead of a place of judgment. Now we leave that to the Lord. Now that doesn't mean we don't discern things and understand what's going on. But at the same time, we need to demonstrate grace. See, don't find your life in anything other than Jesus. Don't hold things against others. Forgive, let that go. Temptation of the flesh. So the flesh is, man, we get a lot of fleshly things that we like. Then we see the temptation of the devil. And really the third one kind of bleeds into this. They start to run together. But sometimes the devil will just tempt you to tempt you. Here he puts Jesus on top of the temple and tells him, throw yourself off. And then quotes scripture at him to get Jesus to do something contrary to God's word. Let me tell you something. Flag. Just because you hear a verse of scripture doesn't mean it's truth. Because he does it all the time. The scripture itself is truth, but how it's being applied may not be truth. I hear it all the time. This one is rampant. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Is that true? Yes, it is true. Is it true about knowledge? That's how it's used, right? Is it true about Jesus? Yeah. So that's what I'm learning as I'm going through this. I'm learning some things. The enemy will take scripture and use a different application or use a different outcome and say that this is what it means and it's not accurate. It's not accurate to context. It's not accurate to what God said. We've seen it. Good example is some of the commercial. We're talking about commercials? Let's talk about commercials. I think it's an insurance commercial where the girl goes out and she gets a brand new car. And the guy walks up on his car and it's on blocks and the wheels are gone. And they use the same words and they mean different things. That's what the enemy's doing with the words of God. He takes the same words and he makes it a different meaning. We have to be careful. If the devil can cause us to believe something is biblical when it isn't, we will behave contrary to Scripture. We will. If I believe something is true, I'm going to act based on. Don't you do that? Amen? If we believe something is true, we do that. If I think that bungee cord is going to hold me, I may jump. Probably not. You ever heard of bungee cord failures? They're out there. How about parachute failures? You think if they knew that parachute was going to fail, they would have jumped? That's right. They believed the lie. And it changed their behavior. And it failed. Some of them survived. Listen, if my parachute fails, I do not want to survive. And so we believe these things to be true when they're not. And the devil will do that. He's really good at working his way in to do that. And so we must judge all leadings we are receiving to see if the behavior lines up with God's plans for us. We have to judge that. What is God's plans for you? Well, I don't like this or I don't like that. Well, what are God's plans for me? And he'll try to use your gifts. He'll use the gifts the Holy Spirit gave you. Compassion. The people with compassion have a tendency to kind of give in to the needs or whatever is around them. Or the gift of helps. That's one we really have to protect. Because they'll do everything you ask them if they can possibly fit it into their day. The prophet can become arrogant thinking that he knows everything. If you think you know everything and have an answer to every question out there, I got news for you. You're deceived. And you know what? If you think that you've got it all under like that, then you got some really serious things coming your way. Because you know what? The more I learn, what I realize is the less I know. And the shocking is how little I really now know now that I haven't learned that I know now. Because I haven't realized some new information that's still to come. We don't know nothing, folks. If I could, you know what? But if we know Jesus Christ and Him crucified, if Paul said, I count the rest of it as rubbish. He counts the rest of it as nothing for knowing Him. Because the only thing that matters is our relationship with Him. And so the devil will just tempt us sometimes. Listen, when God speaks to you from His Word, it will line up with context. Remember, Scripture can be manipulated. Don't be fooled. I hear it all the time. Scripture being manipulated to get people to do what they want. Or to get us to behave in a certain way. Or to do certain things. Listen, we here better stand for Scripture the way God said it, with what God meant it. And if it falls on us and we need to get our lives right, then get in line. Mm-hmm. And that starts right here with me. Because if we want God's hand upon what is happening here, then we better be in line with what He has said. Because I will tell you, anything that's not from Him, that doesn't line up, or is a deception that we fall into, will fall apart. Truth is always true, right? If I trip out there in the hallway, I'm going to fall down. Because gravity works there. If I trip on the roof, I'm still going to fall down. It's going to be a harder landing. Gravity is always true. It doesn't matter where you are. Because truth is always true, no matter what. And if it doesn't work, it ain't truth. It has to work every time. Even in Deuteronomy, he said, a prophet that speaks in my name, everything he says must come true. Otherwise, he's not from me. And you know what they're instructed to do with people who claim to be from God and say something that's not true in Deuteronomy? Yeah? They're instructed to murder them. Kill them. So these other, there's a religion out there today that claims to be a prophet of God. The stuff they've said did not happen. It's tough. But either we're going to kneel to it or we're not. We're either going to bow to him or we're not. And it's individually, personally, as a church, being led. Jesus, even though he was tempted, he did not sin. And so, we see the temptation of our flesh. We see the temptation by the devil himself. But we also see the temptation by the world, of the world. In the final temptation that Jesus has here, the devil shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and offers them to him if he would bow down and worship him. Anybody ever read that before? How many of you ever thought to yourself, that's ridiculous? See, the devil offers what he doesn't have. Because the earth and the fullness thereof belong to who? The Lord. The Bible says it. They don't belong to him. He has dominion at the moment, but they don't belong to him. So there again, he takes something and he twists it. He takes it and he twists it. You ever had anybody twist your words and say, well, Mark meant this or Mark said that, or they would have put your name there, not mine. You ever had somebody do that? That's fun, isn't it? Don't you guys really enjoy when people do that? You're like, man, I just love that guy. How do you think God feels when people do that? Even we know it's wrong. He shows in the world all the kingdoms of the world. But you know what? What we see here, though, what we see here, folks, don't pass by this. We see the heart of the devil. What was he trying to get out of Jesus? He's trying to get him to fall down and worship him. That's what he really wants. That's what he's after in our lives. Now, he won't come in here and go, hey, why don't you fall down and worship me? Because we would all go, we'd run out of here, right? Hopefully. But he's very subtle about the way he does it. Listen, whoever you follow is a sign of worship. Romans 12. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service of worship. So whoever we present our bodies to is worship, folks. There's all three together. Whatever you present yourself to, you worship. It's the way it is. And so the temptation of the world, listen, the world is alluring. But the enemy never shows the end result of seeking the world. He shows you the party, never the destroyed lives. He shows you the fun and not the cleanup. He shows you the acceptance, so he appeals to your flesh as well, and never the hurt that follows. And the world's alluring. Listen, God made the world with it to be incredibly beautiful. He did. He made this place. He did it because he loves us. He did it because he wanted to give us a beautiful place to live. And according to Romans chapter 1, he did it to express who he is, so that the invisible things of God may be seen by us and we may know that he's there. That's why this whole thing of tribes and people that have never heard, they have the opportunity to know. Listen, we're so afraid that somebody is not going to ever have the opportunity to hear about Jesus. If there's somebody in faith that sees this world and is acting in faith or is praying, God can make a Bible fall out of the cargo hold of an airplane, land, and then be able to read it and hear about Jesus Christ. Amen? So he will make a way for people who are seeking him. And once you know what his path for you is, once you get on it, there's going to be a lot of pretty things all around you. Flash bulbs and, hey, come over here. This is awesome. Come try our food over here. I know you already ate. I had to eat lunch twice once, and it was close to sin. But there's all these little things out there to draw us away. There's the American dream. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. It's all about you. What does that appeal to? Our flesh and our pride. Where God says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and I will lift you up. How long has it been since you just humbled yourself before God? Maybe you're not having a problem at the moment. Hallelujah. Let's get humble. Because I want to stay there if that's going on. How long has that been? The enemy would like us to love the creation more than the Creator. He absolutely would. This world is temporary, and people love this creation. And I think we love it more than him sometimes. We seek it. We seek to own it. Which is, I realized something the other day. It matters not at all what my name is on, because I don't really own it. The bank of no. I don't really own it. Even if I paid for it, it's not mine. If it's mine, it would be mine forever, right? When I die, someone else is going to take it. Someone else is going to, you don't own nothing. Let's die broke. And let's take some souls with us on the journey. Let's forget about the past. And you know what? We anchor to our failures so often. We anchored it. This bad thing happened, and it was horrible. It was tragic. It should have never happened. We've all had things like that in our lives. And we all said, everybody, amen. And we sit around and we let that affect how we walk with the Lord today. Something that either we said or somebody said, something that somebody did or didn't do, something that happened, and we look there and the enemy will sit there and we feel guilty and bad. That's not the Spirit of God, because it doesn't lead you to God. It leads you to shame and hiding. That's the difference between conviction and guilt. God doesn't bring condemnation, but he does bring conviction. Conviction brings you back to him. Condemnation makes you go away from him. If that's going on in your life, that's not of God, that's of the devil. And so it's so bad, and we hate that it happened, but we anchor our life to it. And we allow it to affect us. And we allow it to affect our relationship with God. And so we walk based upon the shadow that seems to fall us. When God said, when I saved you, and when I forgive your sins, they're removed as far as the east is from the west, we're never to see them again. It's not a part of us, but in our mind it is, because we're allowing our flesh to control our future behavior, even with the Lord. Those are called coping patterns. And the flesh will teach us those things as we walk with the Lord, as we walk contrary to the Lord, as we walk as lost people. And then we now have a new Lord. But we still drag around this old dead body with us. That's out of the class. And that's true. And so we go through life dragging this corpse behind us that has nothing to do with where we are today. And then we wonder why we're not over there. And it's time to cut the cord. It's time to say no. It's time to say, now is my moment. Because there's temptations are rampant today. People are changing our words today and saying they mean things that they don't mean. Big surprise, he's been doing it for 2,000 years. Now if we have a stance for Christ, not only, and I was thinking this, and I'm going to go a little further than Don, and Don, he can back me up and I'll apologize to you later. But they say that, you know, that you're intolerant. They're even calling us racist now. Be honest with you, if I was a person who truly had experienced that, that would offend me. I can have my belief, but you can't have yours. Your beliefs are racist, but you can't tell me that there's anything wrong with mine while I'm telling you what's wrong with yours. It's the definition of hypocrites. And we're afraid to stake a stand because of having that label slapped on us that's not accurate. So we hush the responsibility to tell them about their need for Christ. It's happening today, folks. It's all around us. And so we compromise because we want to be accepted. We compromise because we don't want to be offensive. Listen, the gospel offends. And you know what? There are some people out there that need to be offended. Amen. We can offend them with the truth, but not be offensive in how we say it. We're losing this because we're buying into this garbage from the world. And we're so afraid because we allow acceptance to drive us that we'll tell people what they want to hear, or we'll go along with them, or we'll laugh at that joke that we shouldn't, because if we didn't, it would make us stick out. You ever find yourself in that situation? I have. Listen, only God's things are eternal. Ultimately, what we learn here, it's that the enemy will promise things he doesn't own. And he will do that to get what he's wanted all along. And that's for us to worship him. It's for us to worship him. That's how every cult in the world gets started. Come follow me. Jesus lived in Waco. Did you know that? That's what he called himself. That I'm the Messiah. The problem is the things he said didn't jive. So we have to reject. But if Jesus showed up in Waco and everything he said backed up, as long as him showing up in Waco didn't violate. But I want you to know something. Jesus is in Pflugerville. Jesus is in this room. Jesus walked into this room when you walked into this room because he's in you. And he's in me, and we're in him. But we don't see that as reality. We see that as a nice church talk. And if we really saw that as reality, let me ask you something. If you took Jesus by the hand and walked everywhere you went through your day, and he stood there in every conversation you had, would anything change? The sad thing is, that's what's actually going on, and we don't even care or pay attention. That's the truth. The truth offends, and it offends me too, so welcome to the crowd. Don't trade the eternal for the temporary. We do it all the time. Don't trade the eternal for the temporary. Listen, what have we learned from the temptation of Christ? We learn that we can be tempted by the world, the flesh, and the devil. Be aware how the temptation comes to you so you won't be caught off guard. Be ready. Be aware. That's why we have this. You know, I was studying this, and I'm still working on it. I'm about 98% there. You know the only people the devil went to that's recorded specifically that there's a conversation with were perfect people. He went to Eve before she sinned. He's going to Jesus here. Now, we're going to see requests of the devil. He requested Peter. He made requests, and then God pointed out Job. I would have liked to have been there when Job showed up in heaven. Really, God? But we have to be aware so we don't get caught off guard. Listen, don't treat temptation casually. Well, I wish somebody would tempt me with that. And we laugh, and I get it. But it's not in line, folks, and we know it. We know it. And see, and I'm there with you because I get this. It's so easy to grab the things of this world and really miss out on what God's doing. It's so easy. So what have we learned? We've learned the ways we can be tempted. We've also learned that being tempted does not mean you have sinned. That was, remember the movie The Temptation of Christ? Do y'all remember that one from years ago? That was the failure of that movie. They showed Jesus struggling with the temptation. He didn't struggle with these. He had victory over them. Amen. He didn't struggle with it. Man, you know, if I worship the devil, maybe he'll give me all what I already own. We saw the ability that for him to control his body over what he took physically on the cross. So maybe that wasn't as big of a temptation as it would be for us. Well, we all like a good bread. Right? I could probably ask around. You guys could tell me where the best bread in the city is. Or what bread to avoid. You ever had bread so hard that you get at a restaurant and you like dent the table with it? We can tell you where not to go to get that bread. Maybe that's the bread that was still stones. That's what we're talking about. And so being tempted doesn't mean you've sinned. If that's true, then Jesus sinned, and we know Jesus was sinless. But man, like the devil will come in. I'm going to give you a good example of how this works. Have you guys ever seen that... They call it strawberry cheesecake, where they put the strawberries on top and then the strawberry juice just kind of cascades down the side on the plate. It kind of pools down around the bottom. How many of you guys are thinking about strawberry cheesecake right now? Anybody? Did anybody picture that when I was talking about it? Where did that thought come from? I put it there. Have you sinned? I put it there. He will put thoughts into your mind. You need to discern where the thoughts are coming from. If I can do it, he can do it. Right? I just want to put you in the situation for a minute. Because what the enemy will do is he'll come in and say, hey, have you heard about the strawberry cheesecake? And then he'll come along and go, because he's the accuser of the brethren. He'll go, how could you have thought about that strawberry cheesecake? That's awful. What a sinner. What a terrible person you are. How could you have done that? And then we feel bad and we feel unacceptable and we don't want to go to God and it affects our relationship. Well, how could I have done it? I mean, I don't know. And then our walk is affected. And he did it the whole time. Didn't have anything to do with us. So being tempted doesn't mean you sin. If you let the enemy bring guilt into your life just from him tempting you, you are going to live defeated. And some of us are living defeated because of that tactic right now. Let me give you one more. The more you seek God, the more obvious temptation will be, and the less it will attract you. The more you seek God, the more obvious temptation will be and the less it will attract you. Because let me tell you something. Everything the devil can throw at us and everything this world has to offer does not compare to the beauty of Jesus Christ. It absolutely does not compare. You know, I was reading this story this week and there was a man who was going through a midlife crisis and he went on and bought a new car. And he's like, this is one of those sports cars. And so he got it out on the highway and he said, man, let's see what this baby can do. This is before the toll roads. And he put his foot on it in 85, 90, 95, 100. And you know the next thing he saw? He saw flashing lights behind him. And he sat there and he thought for a moment. He said, I bet I can outrun it. And he put his foot on the floor.
And the cop was in the dust. And he's going. And then his better senses caught up and he pulled over. And about 5 to 8 minutes later, the cop pulled up behind him. And he walked up to the window and he said, "I am almost at shift change. And you should be going to jail. Or at least get a ticket. If you give me an excuse I've never heard of before, I'm going to let you go." And the man, without batting an eye, said, "Well, I heard that my wife ran off with a trooper, and I thought you might be returning her." Listen, you're like, what is that? In the real world, temptation and participating in it has consequences. We got off because of what Jesus did. But there are still consequences to the choices we make. And so the devil, we face spiritual warfare, folks. It is absolutely real. And he doesn't come to us with flags saying, "Hey, here comes spiritual warfare." He slides in like a friend with advice that seems like he cares about you, to get you to do what he wants you to do. That's not what God's plans are for you. Say no to him and yes to Jesus. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask everybody to bow their head and close their eyes. Amen.